Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Broadway Breakdown. I am your host, Matt Kaplick.
And I'm your other host, John Miscavige. What is this character?
I don't know. This is the John gave me some coffee and I put some cinnamon in it and now I'm feeling my oats. Let me feel my oats.
I love this character. They're extremely annoying. No, I was like, I just turned into Daria as soon as it happened. I was just like, oh my god, I was in such a good mood until I had to deal with this bitch.
This character's name is Oat. What's the name? What was the guy from Hamilton, the one who closed Great Comet? Oak something or other?
Oak something. Oak I don't something. Remember.
So my character's name is Oat something.
Why? I'm not following.
I don't know.
What kind of drugs have you been... Honestly, you came in today like a flurry of gayness. Tasmanian gay devil.
The sad thing is that there are no drugs. It's 46 days now sober, everybody.
Completely?
So, completely. No booze, no Molly, no nothing. I never actually took Molly.
I've never tried Molly either. No. I've had friends who have offered it to me so many times. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try Molly. And then like
Molly
literally...
Weed.
Literally, as soon as like he will like try to finalize a pilot with me, I'm like, I'm busy. So if we do Molly this week, and I'm like, I can't. I have to go do repaneling on a house. Like
I have to finish the hat.
Immediately bitch out, and I'm just like, I don't want to do hard drugs.
No. So sorry. Introduce yourself.
I did already, didn't
did
I?
Did you? I think I talked over you. Or no, you did. I think you just said I.
Like I said, maybe going straight edge isn't a good thing for Matt. Maybe he needs this stuff to chill him out because he's functioning on too high of a level.
It's true
that he's not functioning.
I've completely broken down. You've heard it here, everybody. No, it's my new look. It's my nails.
But I love the new look. He came in with a painted nail. Like,
I did.
Looking skinny, freshly coiffed. This is all great.
I would like to... Today is February 21st. Yes?
My eyes are rolling so hard.
Remark this. This is the day that I got like 3 compliments from John in a minute. I usually get 3 in a month if I'm lucky. I'm so happy right now.
People always act like I'm so withholding, and it really bothers me when they point out the truth.
Well, you keep on talking about how, like, easy it is to get to your butthole, and yet, like, none of us have had it, so, like, what?
I never talk about that. You talk about
you
that.
You talk about that. How dare you?
You talk about my butt more than my proctologist.
Now that we know my dad listens to this podcast, you like to pretend that I'm the one that always brings up butt stuff.
Hey, Daddy
Koplik. I am like in a weird place today. I don't know. But yes, my nails are painted. I decided.
They look fierce. I love
thank
it.
Thank you. The color is called Wine Stock. I got it at Duane Reade. I found out it's the same color that my grandmother has.
What?
Yeah. I saw her a couple of days ago and she saw the nails. She went, did you copy me? And I was like, probably.
Your grandmother paints her nails black. I love that.
It's not totally black. It's like
purple?
It's a really, 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 really dark red. It's like if Maroon and Black had a baby. If Maroon 5 and Black Panther had a baby, it'd be my nail color.
Or Maroon 5 and Black Pink. which is a Korean, it's a K-pop band that I saw their American debut at the Stephen Colbert show. Sorry, I'm just remembering this. So I'm not auto-drama-ing. I'm stream of consciousing. Consciousening? And words. And Blackpink, they're a K-pop band. And on the night of the 50th anniversary that the Beatles performed on the Johnny Carson show, making their U.S. debut, I saw this K-pop band do the same. Wow, we're getting to a quick... That was a quick Billy, I beg to differ, I feel like, a moment. We got there real quick today.
Yeah, we did.
How are you in real life, though? Did we talk about... Why do I have no memory today? Neither of us do.
Honestly, it feels like I came in here high off of Whippets and just, like, started the pod.
Yeah.
Thank God for all this pod.
Covered in pod.
I'm okay. It's been a weird, like, week and a half.
Sure.
I won't get too into it, but I've been a continuous visitor at the Weill Cornell Hospital for the last week.
Oh, no.
Just family stuff. It's now, like, the scary part is now kind of over, and we're now getting into the good stuff, but, like... Yeah, Monday night I went and saw a couple...
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at the good stuff, because it's really wonderful, yeah. But I mean, like, it's also just a really great turn of phrase to use in a situation of, like, someone's been hospitalized. It's like, we're getting to the good stuff.
Yeah, we're getting to the good stuff. They're like, I'll talk about it, just because I've been so cagey about it for so long, and, like, it kind of bit me on the ass on Monday night.
Oh, no.
Well, like, to make a long story short...
don't feel like you have to.
No, why not?
Too.
This is my therapy. I don't go to therapy like John does.
So oh no.
Fair. No, my mom has not been super well for a couple of months now,
yeah.
And it's been sort of like touch and go. And like the what was frustrating is that nobody knew what she had, because she's sure. Like she's always been a very healthy person, and then for her to just like she had anemia, but they didn't know why, and all this other shit, and so like yeah. Just nobody figured it out. They put her on a medicine that basically you give to chemo patients, and like she,
oh, wow,
yeah, and like she's already 101 pounds, so like complete,
yeah, she's a tiny woman.
She is a tiny ass woman. If anyone wants to know, my mother's thigh gap is the envy of every thigh gap in the land.
Truly,
literally, she's a stick. So it completely knocked her out, and we had to bring her to the ER, where they were like. Like, you're fine, but we're going to admit you overnight. Overnight became a week, and now it's going to be a week and a half. But, like, as of right now, like, I just came back from visiting her. She's eating.
Oh,
she
good.
Has no fever anymore. It's all great. And they're going to do some procedures that have been a long time coming.
Mm.
Like, she's needed it for, like, 5 months, and now they're finally going to do it. So we're all like, fuck, yes.
Yay, good.
Yeah, but, like, I was kind of keeping it all inside for a very long time.
Well, and that's what you should do with emotions.
Absolutely. I mean, I think because I see so many musicals, and I just assume that I'm going to inner monologue my emotions in the form of a song that no one can hear, that's healthy.
It is.
Like, I think I took all the wrong things out of Telephone Wire from Fun Home. And... But so I went to go see a show on Monday night, We Are the Tigers, at Theater 80, I think it's what it's called, on St. Mark's Place. I don't know. Directed by Michael Bello, written by Preston Max Allen. It's great. Go see it. It's about murderous cheerleaders.
I cannot wait to see it. I already have plans to go see it with some friends. I've seen a reading of it. I'm a big fan of Preston's work, and I am also a huge fan of Michael Bello's work. I've worked with him before.
I
adore him, and as we all like, everyone who knows Michael Bello, it's impossible to not like Michael Bello. I don't know about that.
No, I've actually known Michael for 25 years now.
Wait, really?
Yes,
literally. I knew it was a friendship that went back, but I didn't realize it went like that far.
Oh yeah,
back.
No, we were four. It's insane.
Did you guys bathe together?
No, we were frenemies.
No, I mean like as adults.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
Which brings us back to Monday.
Thank you for doing that.
So yes, saw Tigers, which I had been a fan of for a very long time. Seen numerous incarnations of it in concert. This is definitely its best life.
Mm.
The music is so fucking catchy. Every girl is belting so high. Lauren Zakrin is great. She's super new to the show, and she just like fits
nails
in.
It, I'm sure.
It's a hard role. She plays Riley, which is like kind of the lead, and it's a really, really hard role to play for anyone who knows Tigers,
mm-hmm.
understands how hard it is.
Yep.
And she just, oh God, she nails it. There are like three lines in particular that she just got a huge laugh out of that I was like, good for fucking you.
I can't wait. And did Preston write everything?
Yes, book, music score. I will say,
so impressive.
Preston is, I think Preston is actually strongest as the lyricist, and that hasn't changed with all, they've written like, he's written like three new songs for the show, and they're all amazing. And I think he writes really great hooks. And I've always felt, because he does everything with his shows, that the books have always kind of been, not lackluster, but they haven't been as up to par as the score. And I think that this book for Tigers right now is the strongest it has ever been.
Yes.
He writes some great one-liners. After the show, show got out, I got like a flurry of texts from my family that were all just like benign texts about like how my mom was doing and yada yada, but it just like very much caught up with me. I had been up for like 16 hours because I was at the hospital with her at 7 a.m. And I could feel myself crashing and like about to have a breakdown. And I was like, I'm gonna take a walk around the block, which became a walk around all of the East Village. And like 25 minutes later, I came back. I was like, okay, I'm fine. But that's sort of where my headspace has been this whole week. And now that that's sort of, I was able to sort of let that out and everything is going a lot better now. I'm like, I don't know. I think maybe the drug that I'm on is just like giddiness. I'm just like happy that things are like kind of starting to get more positive in that element.
Yes, I love that. Sorry then that I yucked your yum in the beginning. Because I did love no such that. Thing. But
I look forward to these things.
I love all that. You know what's so funny that you said that? When I have, or I'm on like the precipice of an emotional breakdown, that is exactly what I do, is I walk aimlessly for like anywhere from like half an hour to like sometimes 3 hours. Like that is what I need to do sometimes. And like, I've done it all over the country. I literally have, like, I will be out on contracts and I will just walk.
Yeah.
And I think, and okay, this is actually going to segue into like a weird thing.
Shocker. That's our podcast.
No, but like, so I've been working the last couple of weeks, I've been working more this desk job and like this remote job. And then last week, kind of like this, right as I was about to tell them that I like needed to cut back my hours because I have some fun, exciting stuff that...
that we still can't talk about.
Actually, I kind of can.
Oh, can we talk about it now?
Let's maybe leave it to the end of the episode.
Okay, great.
So I was right about to tell them that I need to like cut back hours slash like maybe leave. And literally that day my supervisor quit and they were like, John, can you run this company for for a couple of days? And I was like, okay, sure, I can do that, but I have to stop on Wednesday. And so I found myself the first, this is such first world problems and white people problems, sure. But it all ties into everything. So the last couple days I have been sitting at a desk job, like helping run this company, and I have been shocked at like, I just forgot that like having a survival job like that or like doing a desk job, like I am just meant to do theater and things that aren't that, like I need to create, I need to do that. And like, My body, I could literally feel it like being drained from sitting. I've worked like 12-hour waitering shifts, had like, and like auditions, like I've done 5-show weekends. I've never been more tired than I have just like sitting in a desk being like my body feels like it was put through the ringer afterwards. So I don't know why I brought this up again, but like, I guess basically what I'm saying is like, sometimes in life, I think that, this is what I wanted to say, because I wrote this down last night. Like, sometimes in life when I'm not sure what I want to do, I'm like, I'm going to sit still for a second. I'm going to, like, take a moment. But then I think actually what the answer is like, just keep moving forward. Just keep... I literally wrote a note to myself of being like, you're about to embark, for me, on like, and you as well. Like, we're about to embark on these, like, big journeys in our life. And, like, a lot of times, like... I know that when some things like this have happened in the past and you're given a lot of free reign of your own time, it's easy to kind of like lock yourself in at home for a day and be like, oh no, I'm scared and everything's the worst. And especially in the winter, I do that all the time. But literally, like, I was journaling and I was like, I just need to move. Just move, bitches. So that's what I'm here to say. Move. I don't know why I felt like, I feel like I give this damn speech all the time and you could feel free to cut it. But like, I don't know. I feel like it's just... You just reminded me of that with like, sometimes when life is a lot or like when it's not enough, the answer is just to move.
Yeah. Or Harper Pitt in Angels in America said it best.
Do homos take, like, lots of long walks?
Yes, we do. In stretch pants with lavender coifs.
Let's get into the Broadway section of this podcast.
Yes.
John and I have both seen some theater.
Yes.
Yes. Let's...
let's go chronologically, which I believe your theater was first.
Yeah, my theater started on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yes.
I went to see My Fair Lady yet again with Madame Laura Benanti and Mistress Danny Burstein and Mistress's Dam, Christian Dante White as Freddie Eynsford-Hill. Christian Dante White, I think I'm saying his middle name correctly. It could be a different word. Who knows?
What have I seen him in?
He was in Dolly. He was Gavin Creel's understudy in Dolly.
Okay.
And I hadn't seen him until I went to Donna Murphy's last performance, and he was on for Cornelius, and he was lovely. And he was lovely in this as well.
Awesome.
And Rosemary Harris is currently in it as well as Mrs. Higgins, and she's the dame of the theater. Remind me, have you seen this production of...
I still have not. I plan to see it, but now I'm truly torn because I want to see Kirsten, but I want to see Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually never seen... I just caught myself. I was about to call it Hello, Dolly. What is wrong with me? I have not seen My Fair Lady ever.
Okay.
And so I'm not against paying the money to see it twice, but I'm scared, and so
sure.
It's
a Sophie's choice.
Yeah,
I'm very fortunate, and I am a member of LinkTix, and there were LinkTix available, so I was able to see it for $30, which makes up for the fact that I paid a stupid amount to see it the first time. With Lorna, not that it was that I was stupid to do it, just it was a lot of money, and I pay that much for a ticket to Broadway like maybe once a year. I splurged that one time, and then the rest of the time it's like $20, $30, and
yeah,
I sit in the back in the corner. I was right up front by the thrust, was an obstructive view, which is what I love about that theater. Not a bad seat to be had.
Exactly.
It is still a very beautiful production. It is beautiful to look at. The costumes are stupidly beautiful. And yeah, it was very interesting to see it with Laura Benanti, having seen it with Lauren Ambrose. The energy of the production has shifted with Laura Benanti in some ways for the better and not some ways for the worse, just for the different, if that
sure,
makes sense.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, every leading player brings their own energy to a role, and
exactly.
That definitely shifts things with the production. And you've seen Benanti on stage.
I have seen Benanti on stage. And the thing about her energy that I always find surprising, which I think maybe what I'm picking up on, is that she's much more biting than you expect her. Well, not than you expect her to be, but and like, not to say that you don't empathize or love her character. Like, I always I loved her Amalia.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just remember being like, oh, her Amalia is sweet, but like, a little sour, a little spice.
Yeah, very a lot of kick.
Yeah.
I will start this off with saying she is one of the she's one of the most underrated comedic stage actresses we have.
True.
She is
fully true.
So fucking funny, and not in a way that detracts from the show, which is, I think, really smart of her. Like, she found some laughs in She Loves Me that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
And I loved. I will say, it's not that I didn't empathize with her. For me, it's hard to watch Laura Benanti on stage and see weakness. She can show vulnerability,
yes,
but not necessarily a weakness. And that was something that I thought was missing from her Amalia. Is somebody I've always imagined Amalia as someone whose like heart is on her sleeve, who really not only wants but kind of needs to find that dear friend.
You know,
with Benanti, I was moved, but I also was like, if she never finds dear friend, like, she'll be just fine on her own. Like, she is a strong,
completely
independent woman, which is like...
I completely felt the same way.
Yeah. She almost reminds me a bit of, like, Katharine Hepburn when I see her on stage. Katharine Hepburn was someone who, even if she cried on screen, it wasn't a way that made you go, like, oh, this vulnerable woman. It was more sort of like, oh, we see this strong woman have a moment to breathe. And that's sort of where I'm at with Laura Benanti on stage. And it's not a negative thing.
No.
I want to make that very clear.
Of course not.
But... with My Fair Lady, with Lauren Ambrose, I would argue Lauren Ambrose, in my opinion, had a more moving first act than Benanti did, but then Benanti had a really phenomenal, fiery second act. Lauren Ambrose's Eliza was someone who came off so pitiful in the first two scenes of the show, like very much a low class woman who has had like life just kick her over and over again.
A couple of John and Matts. She was just
just spitting on her, saying, "How dare you not belt that seat?" Which, I mean, I don't say I do that to homeless.
No, men. I meant like we're pitiful.
Oh, I thought you were saying that we were like the life that were just constantly kicking her.
No, we're pitiful.
Do you not
go up
to homeless women and say, "Why aren't you singing Change to Me, a la Mary Testa?"
Well, yeah, of course. I'm not a monster.
I love this. So, no, yes, pitiful like we are 6 out of the 7 days a week.
Exactly.
But, and then Benanti is
and
like...
And then on the Sabbath, we're always the strongest.
Yes, we're such Benantis on a Sabbath.
We are. Yep.
Yes. But, so, and what, Sabbath is on Friday, right?
Shabbat. Shalom.
What day is Sabbath?
So Benanti...
We're Benantis on a Saturday.
I always forget you're not Jewish.
I am. Even though I'm the worst Jew.
You're not Jew. I'm more Jewish than you.
Well, yeah, emotionally speaking. So, Benanti. So, Lauren Ambrose was, again, very pitiful at the beginning and very, like, hard on sleeve, just no guard in sight. And you saw her all throughout Act One become this regal woman. And it was a beautiful journey to watch. Like, there were times, and part of it was physically speaking, you didn't always know she would get through the song, and she always did. Like, it was weird because it never sounded like a struggle. Just like the way she like had a very interesting posture for Eliza that got more regal as it went on. And she also made this very interesting choice that even when Eliza became more of a lady, it was still very studied. Like, the way she moved and the way she spoke had an effect to it that was like, it's still not second nature to her yet. She's still thinking about everything she's doing. Whereas the moment Benanti comes on stage, you're like, oh, that's a duchess.
Yeah.
Like, this is a grand dame. And it comes with that confidence. It comes with the posture. It comes with the way she acts. Her Eliza from the get-go is a whippersnapper. She gives as much as she gets. Like, she's able to, you know, dish it out. She doesn't take shit from nobody.
Yes.
And in ways that's great, because it makes Henry Higgins, the actor who plays Henry Higgins, I'm blanking on his name right now, Harry something or other.
Yeah, I don't know.
He now has this sort of fire within him when he plays the role with her. Like, they have this great chemistry that I would not say is romantic or sexual. It's actually really more of two people who've now realized that they are equals, and how they fire against each other is really phenomenal. And the final moment of the show now with Benanti, which has that been spoiled for you by any chance? The final moment of this production?
It hasn't been spoiled, so
then
I don't know.
I won't take that moment to spoil now. But the way that it was with Lauren Ambrose, the Henry Higgins, the way he sort of looked at her as it ended almost was like a sense of regret and loss. Whereas with Benanti, it's almost like a moment of pride. He's like, yep, this is where she needs to be. And that comes from the different dynamics that they have, because Lauren Ambrose was sort of such a wounded bird who eventually found the strength to heal herself, and that was empowering, whereas Benanti was sort of this strong bird already who was smart enough to realize that she now has an opportunity that she then grabs, and then it's sort of like, oh, fantastic, now this strong, intelligent woman has an opportunity, and we're seeing her like grab it by the balls and go full throttle, whereas Lauren Ambrose is like, can she even do it? And then she does, and it's like, oh, yes, with Benanti... Okay, I had an epiphany. If I could take the words "oh yes" to describe Lauren Ambrose and Benanti's journey at the end of the show, Lauren Ambrose, it's sort of "oh yes," and then Benanti's is like "oh yes."
Cool.
That is exactly how I would describe the two journeys. And they're both phenomenal. Both could learn a little something from the other.
Sure.
And it's so worth seeing. She sings it like a fucking dream.
Of course,
she looks like Audrey Hepburn and Katharine Hepburn's lesbian love child in those gowns. I'm like, how dare you look so beautiful?
She is so stunning.
She is distracting.
She's one that I've never... I don't think I've ever seen her in person. I was supposed to have met her in this, like, odd series of circumstances. And, like, I was nervous, sweating. Mm. Like, she's one of those people where, like, She's not even a triple threat. She's like a sextuplet threat. Like, she just does it all, and she's so stunning and beautiful and funny, and like, it's like meeting my twin. And like, I I'm done. That was all I have to say.
Patty LuPone just burst through the door, shouted in John's face, "Billy, I beg to differ with you," and then walked out the door.
Yep, she did.
Yeah, she is. Stop visiting.
She's
Vanessa Hudgens from Montanaro, and you're Vanessa Hudgens from Chicago. Basically twins, but you have a Chicago cap and she has an accent.
Yeah,
Montanaro
schedule. Well, that's really fun. I definitely need to check it out. It's been on my list forever, but like I still have to see Caitlin in Prom. I have to see some theater soon.
See Caitlin in Prom. That's important.
Yes.
But Benandi will be in until July, so you got time.
Exactly. I got time. I saw some theater this week.
Yes, you did. Tell us more.
I went to the opening night of the Roundabout revival / revisal of Sondheim's most polarizing work, I would say. Rarely We Roll Along. What did you say?
I said Roadshow.
No.
Doesn't everybody love Roadshow?
But Roadshow's about to be on Off Center.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what this story's about.
No. Stop stealing my Thundercats. I saw Mary Lou Roll Along, which is the only time I've ever seen, or it's the second time I've seen a production. The first time, it was an Encores production, so like, you know, like, ish. And that one was starring Colin Donnelly, that's his name?
Colin Donnell, I think.
Colin Donnell.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel and Celia Keenan-Bolger, and then Betsy Wolf was Beth. And when I saw it on Encores, I remember being like, oh, I see why this show is a bit of a flop. Mm-hmm. And then this production was done by the Fiasco Theater Company, which Roundabout had worked with. This is their second time working with. They did the revival of Into the Woods that was off Broadway a couple years ago that was even more pared down. It was super imaginative. It was very theatrical. You know, it like took place in like an attic and was just like a bunch of people telling a story. Did you see that production?
I did. At first I thought it was an attic. I actually think that the design concept
is in a piano.
Inside a piano, yeah.
It is, but it feels very...
Yes.
Their vibe, even the set for this one is, it's not the piano theme, but like, it's like a hoarder's paradise. And I mean that in the best way. Like their sets are always just like prop heavy, like super stylized. Yeah.
What I love about it is that it always seems like the most random props, and then they show you how they're using those props for something, and you're like, oh, of course.
Yes, everything basically gets like worked in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so this is the second time I've seen the show. They changed a good amount of it. They added in book scenes that had been cut from the original that were in the play.
Oh.
And so they added back in some scenes, moved the order of and the location of some songs around, and pared it down so that there's only six people in it. And so...
Six?
Yeah, it's Frank, Charlie, Mary, and then the actress who plays Beth and the actress who plays Gussie, his...
Double cast?
They play a ton of different characters.
Okay.
So they are each separate, and then there's a man who just basically plays like every other character,
and
they're all amazing. I mean, I think that Fiasco has done a really great job of finding their voice and their takes and how they imagine these pieces of theater. Mm-hmm. They did some really, really fun things right off the bat where they basically like sing the opening number, have all these like big physical things happen, and then they literally do like an exact physical reversal of what just happened, and like things go back into place, like people, like it's the way that they played around with time in this was really fun. The changes that they made to adding scenes back into the book really helped clear up some things. Yeah, I really loved it. I recommend seeing it. Do I think that I don't think the show will ever be perfect.
No, the show doesn't work really.
The show does not work.
No.
The show cannot work.
No.
Because you cannot have a success as an audience member, you cannot have a successful moment of catharsis kind of until the very end of the show. And even then it's really difficult because it's kind of like, it's just like emotional edging. Like you, but it is, yeah, no, like the whole show is just a scene of emotional edging where you're about to get to like the other side of what happens plot wise and like think like, oh, like this is like the moment where it all pays off. And because it's going backwards in time, it can't. Yeah. And it's funny to not compare it, or it's almost impossible to not compare it to the last 5 years and be like, okay, so why does last 5 years work and why doesn't this? And it's like, well, I guess like it, just the sheer tweaking of it having that perspective of someone going forward in motion while someone goes back and then having that switch. As much as I stepped away from this production being like, God, Sondheim is a genius, there are so many amazing things in this show that the writers created that it really is such a work of art, even though it's a bit of a, it's not perfect by any means. But like, it really made me also go, man, Jason Robert Brown is really fucking brilliant and like really kind of nailed what this infamous flop couldn't figure out.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I don't think Last 5 years works that much more than Merrily. I think works more than Merrily. I think it does work more, but Last 5 years gives me sort of the same blue balls that Merrily does.
Oh, it never like it never does.
Listening to both shows gives me the same exact. I think the scores for both shows work so well.
Yeah,
and I think that Jason Robert Brown did take more of a leaf from Merrily music wise in terms of having things make sense musically as the show goes on, like having
exactly
themes and whatnot.
The vignettes,
yes. But Our Time is a song that is so moving to me when I hear it not in the show. In the show, I'm like, this is such a beautiful song, such a beautiful message, and I can't cry because nothing has been resolved.
Exactly. I think that was my emotion. Like, as beautiful, and they have a really beautiful scene for the like the, just what they created for that song, and it really is so beautiful. But I couldn't cry either, and I cry at everything, and like it's.
I think they want you to be emotional at the promise of the song that you know what you know at that point is not going to get fulfilled,
right?
And it's like, well, now I'm just. I don't feel good, and this is a song, and I'm sure that's what they want, but like the song is so hopeful and it just makes you kind of punch yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Last 5 years, my issue is more that like I find weirdly, because even though Jamie's story is one that goes forward, I think it actually assists me in finding Kathy's story more interesting, even though hers is the one that goes back. I find her songs more interesting. I find her storyline more interesting.
I agree 100%. That's what I think. One of the things that's really cool about it is
And again, I agree with you. I think that Last 5 years works so much more than Merrily does, and I think Jason Robert Brown was smart to make that what it was. I don't know what it is. Like Last 5 years, I can listen to it.
Did you see the most recent revival?
I saw the Last 5 years at Second Stage, and I saw the movie, and we've all seen the bootleg with Sherry and Norm, with Norbert. I don't know.
I was really moved at this most recent revival. Like, it really kind of, gutted me.
Yeah. A lot of people were very moved by it. I don't know. I saw it, and I was super entertained, and Betsy Wolf can just, like, she can sing to me my, like, test results. And I will be pleased.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you what it was. I think...
That's okay. You're entitled.
Yeah. Am I, though?
Well, to your opinion.
Yeah, I'm entitled to my opinion. You taking the light. You are the story I should write.
Time traveling in musicals are hard. Listen, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going
to
say it.
Let's not do a Back to the Future opera, everybody.
You heard it here first. But I really loved this production of Fiasco at Merrily Roll Along. I love that theater. They're in the Laura Pels. Mm-hmm. I love that theater so much.
Beautiful theater.
And so I really enjoyed it. And then we went to the after party, which was at Hard Rock, and I don't know if he was at the show per se, but he def showed up to the Hard Rock. Yours truly was in the same room, finally, as Stephen Sondheim. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, then
ladies,
you became a hard rock.
And let me tell you, like, how old is he?
He's 88.
God, I love that you just knew that. Of course, I knew you would know that, Jesus.
Don't quote me on that. It could totally be wrong.
I don't know my own age. And that's for a reason, because I don't want to know how old I am.
No, God, no.
I've reached a point. But I have to tell you, as I creepily watched him from across Hard Rock, he's spry.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sitting down, but he's very much there. He was very engaged. He was very... He was very talkative. He looks like an almost 90-year-old man, but he...
but energy-wise...
Energy-wise, like, yeah, like, he looked like a spring chicken. And
compared
and,
to you, though, where you look like a spring chicken, but attitude, energy-wise, you are 90,000 years old.
I'm already dead.
You're so dead.
But it was just, you know, I could have gone up and talked to him. What was actually really fun was... a guy who writes for TV, who we were talking to, that is his idol. Mm-hmm. And he, what was more fun was he refused to leave without introducing himself to Sondheim. And so I watched this grown man's journey, mm-hmm. introducing himself to Sondheim, which included a period of him standing by a bar by himself nervously. It was like as if it was watching someone as if they were about to go ask a girl. I don't know how to sexuality.
A
works.
Girl, Stranger Things.
But yeah, but it was like watching a guy about to go ask a girl out on a date in a bar. Just go up, and this guy was so nervous. It was so amazing. Aww. And then he went up to him, and Sondheim, because this guy's name is Ethan, this writer. I think he maybe writes for HBO. I don't remember. I'm not
oh sure, Ethan at HBO. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
You know him. But he. I guess he had written to Sondheim when he was little and like was like, I want to be a writer. And he went up to Sondheim and apparently Sondheim goes, ah, yes, I remember you. And this guy goes, oh, that's very kind. You don't need to lie. And he goes, Sondheim goes, no, you're the only Ethan who's ever written to me. And this guy was like, what? And he's like, yeah, and now I think you're the only Ethan I've ever met. And this guy was like sweating. He said he was telling the story like beaming after it happened. Yeah. And then Sondheim apparently goes, oh, wait, well, other than Ethan Hawke.
Oh my God.
So I got to watch this guy, although I didn't introduce myself to Sondheim. And I made the choice not to introduce myself to Sondheim for safety reasons for me.
You like your butthole intact, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm out of butter right now. It's going to be hard for me to get into a frying pan at this age. I know I look like a newsies, but
I look like a newsies.
Yeah, but I
sound like my grandma.
I move like someone who's in a roundabout show, like an old person, like a roundabout subscriber.
I'm saying John looks like a newsies, moves like a Follies.
I'm a Follies. But yeah, so I mean, I know that really doesn't have a lot of weight, but for me it was cool. It was cool to just see kind of the pinnacle of what has changed musical theater, just to look at him in person and go, wow, you did all that.
Yeah.
And one day I'm gonna do all that.
Yeah. I would have been like, wow, you built this legacy, and one day I'm gonna tear it down.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna
burn
it to the fucking ground.
I'm gonna tear it apart inch by inch.
Mm-hmm. I intend to create The Bachelor the musical, The Apprentice the musical, He's Just Not Into You, the ballet.
Oh my God.
Everything, all of it.
Art is dead.
And on that note, that's amazing. I'm so happy for you that you got to be in the room with him.
It was cool. Yeah, it was cool to just look at God for a second. It was just cool. It was cool to look into the face of God.
Oh my God. Sometimes I think when he does pass, which honestly the way he's going could be decades from now.
Literally seemed like never. I mean, he truly... Because I kind of made a joke at first when I was about, like, when someone was like, oh, I think he's over here. And I was, like, turning and was like, yeah, well, I'll just, like, you know, gotta get my last look. And then I saw him and I was, I mean, he was basically, like, wearing, like, butterfly barrette clips. So like he looked like a teenage girl. Like he was just moving like a tween.
Sondheim in a new production of The Bad Seed.
Sondheim in, starring in 13. He's Sondheim is totes the new Ariana Grande.
You oh heard, my god,
you heard it here second.
Yeah, but like he and Hal Prince both, because Hal Prince is even older. I think he's like 92 or something. They yeah, just
Hal Prince is legally dead.
Legally speaking, sure, but like they both have so much energy. Although my grandmother's 95, and even getting hit by a taxi cab and shattering her kneecap was not enough to bring that bitch down. She is still walking and eating and drinking a storm.
You know what? You can't keep a good dog down.
No.
You really can't.
No. Duck, duck, goose. I don't know. I had nothing to say to that, so I just thought that the first thing that
came
to
mind. Do you not know the song "You Can't Keep a Good Dog Down" from All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Oh, I thought you said duck. You can't keep a good duck down. I've never no. seen. All
are you
dogs
still thinking about
heaven.
That? Are you still thinking about that fucking ferryman goose?
I am. I think about that goose about every 2 or 3 days. I think about it every 2 or 3 days, and it's amazing comedic timing.
Mm. I was the goose.
that's what everyone needs to know. The only John's day job is not some weird desk job. He's the goose and the ferryman.
I was the goose.
And he told them that he needed to leave, and they were like, "But John, we need you to run the show."
Yeah.
Because that goose runs the fucking show. Wait, I need to tell you this. So my friend Amanda Hawkins, who I'm pretty sure I've name dropped on this podcast once, she listened to our Ferryman episode, and she goes, "Matt, I have tea for you." Because one of her...
Is it goose tea?
It's goose tea! Shut up. No, get ready for this. So one of her friends...
I'm done. I'm leaving this podcast.
One of her friends' babies... is one of the babies in The Ferryman.
Yeah, one of my friend's babies is a baby in The Ferryman.
Really?
Made their Broadway debut before me. I'm not jealous.
Oh my god, that's whatever. Their college fund's already gonna be ready when they're older. Anyway, I don't know what that sentence was. What the fuck?
You just had a rage stroke.
I did. It's
about
fine.
This baby's success.
Amanda goes, "No, Matt, listen to me. That goose has its own dressing room." And I go, "No." And she goes, "Yes.
Of course
no.
it does,
then
Matt.
She goes,
it has to. It's a wild fucking animal."
Then she goes, "No. My friend says to me..." I'm Amanda now. She goes, "My
How
friend
am
says
I the voice
to me..."
voice of reason on this suddenly.
Amanda goes, "My friend says to me, Amanda, that goose needs to have people visit it in its dressing room before every show. And it knows when someone hasn't, because it affects its performance in the show." And Amanda's like, "What do you mean?" She goes, it gets very snippy in the show if no one's come to visit it before. Like, it needs at least..."
Do you mean, like, actors in the
yeah,
show?
Yeah, like, actors. Like, actors need to... Like, not the entire cast, but it needs a couple of actors to visit it before the show. Otherwise, it gets very, like, persnickety. And it like, doesn't honk when it's supposed to. It, like, will get ruffled. And I go, "Amanda, you're shitting me." She goes, "No, I'm not at all." She goes, "So you absolutely nailed it. That goose is a fucking diva."
Your personification of this goose is something that perplexes me to this day. I know what you're saying, and I'm here to just... I mean, I'm... Shocker. I'm not a zoologist. I'm not a marine biologist. I don't know what a duck is or a goose.
I'm not an oncologist.
I'm not an oncologist. But I... Of course that makes sense. You know, it's not a domesticated animal, so it's going to feel weird if it, like, isn't familiar. I'm sure it doesn't remember what happened the day before, so it's probably, like, it probably needs a certain level of comfortability with these people.
I disagree. No.
Okay, you're right. I'm
it's
wrong.
It's the conspiracy of the season.
I'm wrong. It's this goose. It's this bitch goose.
Mm-hmm. It's this bitch goose. I'm just saying, like, that goose should have starred opposite Patti LuPone in war paint, and we would have had a diva session.
Oh my god.
We wouldn't have been able to understand either one of them.
To be honest, it probably would have solved a lot of issues in war paint.
Yeah, I mean, we would have understood more the lyrics from the goose than from Patty, but it's fine.
Truth.
Just saying.
Truth.
I think we've run out of topics for the day.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah. Well, you hinted at it earlier. I think maybe we should now let the goose out of the bag.
Yeah.
John has some exciting life developments, everybody.
I'm expecting.
A goose.
A goose. I'm about to be the goose handler. Yeah, so I am about to venture into my own show. Not a podcast. I already got that. We got this one nailed.
Yes.
But I'm about to venture into my own show, and I will be working with the Stage Network, which Woo. Is a online... think like Netflix, but for all your theater needs.
Yeah.
It's an online theater viewing platform, and they and I are developing my own show. I'm not going to tell you the name of the show yet. I'm allowed to tell you the name of the show yet, but I haven't made the official announcement on social meds. And so I want to, like, I want to do that first.
This will be a test of your Facebook friends to see who listens to this. Yeah. See, like, who reaches out or who, like, congratulates you on Facebook.
And that's the other reason, too, because I wanted to test everyone in my life to see, and then use that as emotional, just warfare, really.
Sure.
Because that's what healthy relationships do. But yeah, so I'm not going to tell you the name of the show yet, but I'm going to say keep an eye out on social media. If you don't follow me on Instagram or Twitter, my handle is at John Wascavage. That is JohnWascavage. And follow me because you will see the announcement of the name. I'm not going to give the whole concept away, but let's just say it's me, and it's a lot of it's me plus the Patti LuPone camera freak out during Rose's turn. Mm-hmm. Equals this show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm super excited, and I can't wait to share more in this podcast about it.
I can't wait either. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stage Network, it's brand new. They technically launched in October, mm-hmm. but it was sort of like, it was a bit of a soft launch. I think they're now promoting it a little more heavily. They have some great interview shows. They have original content that they are providing. I actually was just at a shoot for them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the last 2 days. They are filming this one-man show called The Bench, and I was there for 2 of the days of the shoot, which was fun. They have acquired a lot of content. Like, I think mm-hmm. they have all of the recordings that the public did, like Shakespeare in the Park, that mm-hmm. they have all those.
Yep.
They
have a lot of really cool stuff.
They got submissions only. Like, it's a good site. It's super affordable.
And I'm about to go in there and ruin all of it.
Guys, let's call it spade a spade. John's about to go in there and fuck things up.
But here's the thing, literally, I love this network so much. When we were talking about developing with it, they were like, they told their lawyer, you need to block your ears for a second. And so the lawyer blocked his ears, and they were like, we want you to just do whatever you want to do, and we'll deal with the repercussions later. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then, like, literally, like, lightning struck and things caught on fire behind me, and I mm-hmm. was like, let's do this. Like I'm about to throw the universe into chaos. So
I mean, I don't,
because people have given me permission.
I don't want to say that John's currently living the real life version of the gay omen, but like the homo-man, the homo-man,
is that homo-man?
Yeah. The homo-man, yeah. The omen with Damien. It's now John Wascavage and the homo-man.
John backwards actually spells omen.
John backwards actually spells Satan. Yeah. And Wascavage backwards is butthole.
So. It's Kate Baldwin. Wascavage backwards spells Kate Baldwin.
If you play Wascavage backwards, you just hear Kate Baldwin's mix.
Yeah, you just hear her mix.
It's why your life is so blessed.
From a cut song from Big Fish.
Well, I'm so happy for you, John.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting me.
I'm so thrilled that you're able to find success even at the weight you're at right now.
I know, honestly, truly.
Yeah. I just can't give people like actual compliments. I have to give them a compliment and a diss afterwards.
But yeah, so that's going on with me, and keep an eye out for it. And then we still are keeping an eye out for your show. Look at us, just two gals creating content constantly. One of us in therapy, one of us not. The one in therapy, probably worse off.
Probably. I'll make it a point to book therapy. hashtag booked it.
Hashtag he's gonna book it. He's gonna get a CETA contract therapy.
You heard it here, bitches. So I think this is the point now where we should wrap it up, wouldn't you say?
I think so as well.
Yeah. So this has been Broadway Breakdown. Please like us, rate us,
subscribe.
I know it seems thirsty, you guys, but like, first of all, we are thirsty. We're thirsty people.
One of us.
But it helps. It helps with algorithms, with iTunes and all that shit. If you want people to find us when they search Broadway, just like giving us a 5-star rating, like, it'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
plus Matt needs something to masturbate to.
I really do. I masturbate to just good feedback, good solid feedback. You know, nothing got me hotter than when that online review called my performance in Daddy Issues, like, his averageness works for him.
Oh,
God, I think that gave me like 3 weeks worth of material.
Mm. 10 out of 10 would fap to.
Hi, Dad, if he's still listening to this.
Hi,
podcast.
Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
God, I hope your dad isn't listening to it. I really apologize, sir, for just doing that again.
I mean,
but
at this point, I don't fucking care. If he's listened to more than like two episodes, the jig is up. He knows.
The gig is up. The gig is
up. The gig is up. Anywho, great. So we said all the things we were supposed to say.
Yeah, we said all the things. Let's close this bitch. Who do you want us to play? Who is it?
I think because we just brought her up, Miss Kate Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a Kate Baldwin kind of day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I've got nothing left to say. It's just Broadway Breakdown. I'm Matt. You're John.
Oh, yeah. I'm John.
You're John.
I'm John.
I'm Matt.
I'm the John.
And we have Kate coming up now. So, Miss Baldwin, please float us away on your floaty, floaty mix.
Oh, my God. I love you so much, Kate.
Oh, my God. Swallow me whole with that thick cord. Bye.
I wanted the last line. Bye.
Day, away with the bump off. Away with the rub out. Away with monoxide. Away with the one-way ride. Away with beyond recall. St. Peter can tell St. Paul that I don't think I'll end it all today.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.